Phil, it doesn't matter what you think or what the devil says. None of those things matter. And so I want to begin tonight with you understanding, hearing what I'm saying. And I want you to hear this. If you have time to write it down, I'll try to say it slow. But I want you to understand, when we're talking about identity, when we're talking about who we are in Jesus, our image in Him, how we identify with Him, understand when it comes to this and anything supernaturally, when it comes to the Word, you can repeat what you've heard, but you can only confess what you know. You can repeat what you've heard, but you can only confess what you know. Confession is divine agreement with God. When you begin to move to confession, you begin to move in that power speaking that is there in God's Word, according to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, correct? And so when it comes to your identity, it is crucial for you to be speaking over yourself, over other people, what God's Word says, because God's Word is what means forever. Amen? And as you learn to speak and deliver and confess what you know, understand, to know is to believe. And to believe is to act. When we say we believe the Word, it doesn't mean we have a mental acknowledgement of it. It means we act on the Word and we do what Jesus would do. We live how Jesus would live. This is why you can look at people and they say they believe in Jesus, yet they don't live like Jesus. To believe in Jesus is to live like Jesus lived towards the Father. And to have that understanding, Jesus knew who He was in God. Amen? Even when the enemy come at Him, He always went back right to the Word. It is written. Because He understood that authority was in the Word. And when He was speaking the Word over His life, Jesus could have said, "You're right, Satan, I am hungry. I could turn these stones into bread. You're right, I could jump off of here and angels would catch me. They'll actually come get me right now and take me back to heaven if I wanted them to." I mean, He could have acknowledged that. But He did not acknowledge what He was feeling in the flesh, because He knew that the Word was supreme over what He was dealing with. Amen? And as mature believers, we've got to get to that place where we understand it doesn't matter what I think, it doesn't matter what I feel, it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or says, it matters what the Word says. So we're going to get into this night about who the real you is. In this message, in this sermon, we're going to learn that a born-again person is a new creation. You are not like you were before when Jesus wasn't in your life. You are not like you were before you got saved. You might look like the same person on the outside. You might have the same things going on in your life. You might even have some of the same struggles in your mind. Need some healing in your body. But on the inside, you have been made a brand new creation. There's actually never been anyone like us until the resurrection of Jesus. Nobody was ever born again before Jesus. And we stand in that place where our spirit, we are a brand new creation, totally recreated, totally made brand new. We are not like the Old Testament saints. We just believe in Jesus. We're not like even the disciples were when they walked with Jesus. We are now like the disciples after Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And now that we have the Holy Spirit in our spirit, the Bible declares that we have a new nature. We've talked about this before. Now that you are born again, now that you have the nature of God in you, you no longer have a sin nature in your spirit. You no longer have that. You have human nature, but you no longer have a sin nature. You have God's nature in you now. According to Galatians chapter 5, you can look it up later, starting around verses 20, 21, 22, you can read about the fruit of the Spirit, the responses of the Holy Spirit. We've talked about how the fruit of the Spirit is what God would do, how God would act, how God would talk. how God would handle life. Jesus walked in the fullness, not only of the gifts of the Spirit, but of the fruit of the Spirit, and had the Holy Spirit right there with him the entire time. And we have now been made into a totally new creation. This is why we can't identify with who we were before we got saved. We can't identify anymore. It, just like the world wants to identify with all kinds of stuff. And we may look like humans, but we're not just human beings any longer. We are supernatural beings on the inside. This is how the power and the will and the fullness of God can flow through us, and we can walk in divine authority. We can walk in divine power. We can walk in divine relationship. We cannot have a relationship with the Father without being born again. Right? To know God, we've got to be born of the Spirit. And now that we've been born of the Spirit, we now have the life of the Holy Spirit in us. This is why your Bible says, go with me to Romans chapter 8. Many of you know it by heart. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Therefore, there is therefore now what? If you are condemning yourself in your head, you need to realize you have not renewed your mind with the Word of God and with what this says right here. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Who's in Christ Jesus? Who walk not after the flesh or according to the flesh, but after what? The Spirit. We no longer walk after the flesh. We walk after or according to or in the Spirit. You can read that in Galatians chapter 5. He says, now that you live in the Spirit, therefore, walk in the Spirit. He's saying, make yourself mindful of this truth now, that you are not walking around like everybody else. You don't stand in the same state of being that everybody else is in. This is why things can go on all around you, yet you know in your spirit, I've got this Word right here working in me. I've got the personal relationship of the Holy Spirit. Everybody else around me might be alone, but I'm always together with God. I'm always with Him. I'm never alone on this earth. Amen? You must renew your mind with the Word of God on a daily basis and retrain your body. Now we say that, we think about that, but what are we renewing our minds to? Where did our mind go before it was renewed? Can you remember some of the things you did and thought about and lived and acted out and responded according to how you were before you were saved? Does anybody have different responses now since you've been born again? Hopefully you do. And as we learn to identify with Jesus, that we learn to recognize that we belong to Him, we have a different personality. We have the personality of Jesus in us. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And as we have the personality of Jesus, the Scripture says, we also have the mind of Christ. And we have that working in us and the work of God taking place in us because of the grace of God to move us into the understanding that we might look like everybody else, but we aren't like everybody else. Kind of like, I made a joke when I went to the doctor. The doctor asked me how tall I was, and I said, I'm about 5'8", 5'9", but I identify as 6'3", 6'4", you know. And, of course, it was just for fun, you know. But this is the way we are in the spirit, in the supernatural. We look like we're just a human. We look like we're just like the world. But although we live in the world, what does your Bible say? We are not of it. We're not made from it anymore. We're not connected in our spirit to this world and the destruction and the curse. We've been talking about the blessing on Sundays. We've been talking about moving into that place and how it's not God's will for us to suffer, because whatever is going on in heaven, God is desiring that it would go on the earth. And as we learn that just as He is, so are we. As Jesus is right now, we are that way in the Spirit. And as we renew our minds, we should continually be graduating to the next level of understanding, of wisdom, of supernatural strength, of supernatural ability, moving in the direction of not only the fruit, but also the gifts of the Spirit. because we are renewing our minds to the truth of God's word. Amen? So what are we renewing our mind to? Go with me to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. I'm going to read it to you first in the King James, New King James here. And then I want to read it to you in the Passion Translation. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. We see a word there in some of your Bibles that'll say, I beseech you. What is he saying? Paul's saying here to the Roman church, I beg you. I'm pleading with you with all my heart in tears. Desperate for the church, the local church, the people of God to understand what we are to do and how are we to conduct our lives. He says, I'm begging you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present or offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Remember, in the spirit, you're different. In the natural, in the body, you still have your body to present to the Lord on a daily basis. You know what it is. You have responses. You have desires. You have thoughts. You have all these things in you that you know this would not honor God. And in the moment of decision, in the valley of decision, you have a choice to make. Am I going to honor God or am I going to honor myself? And he tells us right here, he says, your bodies is a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the what? Renewing. Now in your spirit, you've been made brand new. In your spirit, you're a brand new creation. But in your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, you're renewing your soul now to what's taken place in your spirit. What you're doing is trying to take your soul and get your soul to match up with your spirit. And know that your spirit now is in the driver's seat with the Holy Spirit, not your soul, not your emotions, not your responses, not your motivation, not your will, not just your decisions. Your body's not in charge. See, what was right in the beginning got messed up from sin. Jesus came and switched everything back where it was the flesh that drove people. It was the flesh that forced them into do things. Now it's the Holy Spirit in our spirit that leads us by the mercies of God. You see what I'm saying? There's a difference there. And us as believers, we don't identify as a believer just because we go to church. We identify as believers because we believe and respond according to the word. Amen? You can do what you want. You still have a free will in your soul. But you have the ability also to say, no, Jesus, I'm going to choose what you want. So he says, and be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? He says, that you may prove or know what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. Why do we need to renew our mind? So we can know the will of God. You're a three-part being, correct? He gives us three different places there so that you may prove what is the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God in body, in soul, in spirit. In every area of your life. Now let me read this to you in the Passion Translation. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? He says, I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be His sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights His heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. He says, stop imitating the ideals of and opinions of the culture around you. Did you know the culture around us has a contrary opinion than what God's word says? You got to remember, just because culture accepts it, just because religion accepts it, it doesn't always mean God does. And sometimes we will stand at disagreement with the world. And of course, if we don't go along with the world and share the opinion of the world, we're judging. But that's not what we're doing. We've actually been removed out from under judgment, and we're trying to help people see the truth so that then they can know it and be set free. I tell people when they like to throw that at me, you're judging me. No, I'm not. What that usually means to people is, don't tell me what I'm doing is wrong because I don't want to feel bad for what I'm doing. That's usually what that means. And I tell them, no, I'm not judging you, especially when I'm talking to believers. I'm not judging you. I'm holding you accountable to the Word, just like I would expect you to hold me accountable to the Word. Sometimes we need to be reminded of what the Word says and humble our hearts, humble ourselves, so that we can hear the truth, get the truth, and walk in the truth. Amen? He says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. I mean, totally different. God thinks totally different than we think just as mere human beings. He thinks totally different. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Does that mean unattainable? No, it means something more worthy to reach for. And as we see God working in us, as we see and experience Jesus moving in our lives, we should always be taking our eyes and moving them higher and higher and higher and higher. There are people that like to just lay around and stay bound up in their sickness or bound up in their oppression or bound up in the past. Bound up in hurts and pains and bitterness and rejection. That's not who we are. We are able to heal from that. We don't have to walk and live in sin and experience the consequences of sin because we've been delivered of sin. We've been totally set free of sin. Your Bible says in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. We are different than the world. We are different than the religious. And we are set aside to do incredible things for God and to live out what He has called us to do. Amen? And we can do it. We can do it with His work, with His power going on the inside of us. So what are we renewing our minds to? He says to us, so that we may know. Say no. Write down the word no. No means to have intimate knowledge and intimate interaction with God. Meaning closeness. Meaning no separation. Meaning face-to-face interaction. Other people can talk to you at a distance. Other people, you'll get around to them when you can. But when it comes to God, when it comes to His thoughts, His will, His ways, God has first place because we know Him and because He knows us, right? We can approach God and walk right up to His throne. Angels may have to wait in line, but not us. We're totally different because we've been made brand new on the inside, a totally new creation. You are a three-part being. Your Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, turn with me there if you can or scroll over. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole or entire what? Spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Right? To be blameless doesn't mean you've never done anything wrong. It just means the blame for it has been removed. And as we understand that, yes, we are human. We have a human nature. We're still learning to renew our minds. We're still learning to submit to the will of God. And we may make mistakes, but yet the grace of God on us will present us as blameless before God. This is why you can be growing in the understanding of the things of God. And while you're growing, you may slip up every once in a while. There may be something that gets your attention, or you get distracted, or life happens sometimes. But you always have the ability to turn right back around and say, God, I'm putting you first now. And you know what God says? Okay, let's keep on going. All right. We're going to do this together, right? And as we understand that the blame, see, when Adam and Eve sinned, Adam blamed his wife, Eve blamed the serpent. God, it was that woman that you gave me. I mean, that's pretty bold. You see the pride in that? Adam and Eve, I really think we could have had a different outcome if they would have repented in that moment. Instead of blaming God, blaming one another, blaming the devil. You know why people sin now? Because the devil's lost power and authority. He only has it when people give it to him. People sin now because people want to, not because the devil made them do it. The devil can't make us, especially us as believers. Now the unbelievers, those who live in the sway of the devil and live in error and all that, the devil can puppet them a lot of times any way he wants to. But not us. We're not like them. We're different, right? Pastor Susan and I was talking one time about how giraffes see on a different level than turtles do. And we're like the giraffes. We can see up above everything else. We don't look down on people and put our noses up in the air and think we're better than. But what it means is we're the ones stronger. We're the ones that are to be able to say, come on, come up here. Come up to a higher place. Come up to the understanding. You can renew your mind out of the filth and the garbage and the scum of this world. And you can see the truth and the enlightenment that God brings, because His truth always brings freedom. God has never tried to put anybody in bondage. Sin has always been the thing that has put people in bondage. God's word brings truth. And He said, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, and may your entire spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You understand that you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Correct? You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Your spirit, of course, your body is the outward part of you that people see. Your body is connected also not just to your natural parts of your body, but it's also connected to your soul. They're linked together. Now your spirit, it is not linked together to your soul and your body. Your spirit is linked together to the Holy Spirit and to the kingdom of God. And within you, the Bible says, the kingdom of God dwells, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Amen? And when you understand that your soul and your body are still being surrendered and submitted to God on a daily basis, you don't just stand around and go, oh, well, this is just me. This is who I am. I was born an idiot and that's all I'm ever going to be. That's not it. Well, I was born this way and I struggle with this and that. That's why I like to tell people, guess what? You can be born again. You can be set free. You don't have to say, well, my grandpa and my great-great-grandma and my aunt's uncle's roommate from college had this, and so I'm going to suffer with this too. Those curses have been broken. Amen? The blood of Jesus has been applied to your life. The blood of Jesus has washed you. And you're not who you used to be before you were born again. Your soul is, of course, your mind, your emotions, your will. It's how you interact with other humans, with other people that have a soul. Have you ever known about that didn't have a soul? I've known a couple people that didn't have a soul. And then, of course, your spirit is the hidden person of the heart, according to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. It's your inner man, the Bible talks about, the candle of the Lord. It's where the Holy Spirit lives and where the Holy Spirit dwells. Your Bible says that the real you is a new creation. Say, I am a new creation. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You need to be writing these down or marking them or highlighting them or something. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone, which therefore means you need to go back and read what he was saying before. So you got some of your own Bible study time to do with these scriptures. Go before and go after and read these scriptures and get the whole picture. I'm limited in time tonight. But he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have what? And behold, all things have become new. You have been totally renovated, totally new features. You've got new features on the inside of you that you didn't have before. There's other bells and whistles in your spirit that you didn't have before. You've got new settings. Amen? You can do things that you couldn't do before you got saved. You could connect to the supernatural and you couldn't do it before. All you could connect to before was the soul realm. And in the soul realm is the demonic realm, the flesh realm, the carnality realm. You're not connected to that anymore. You're not tethered to that anymore. You're now tethered to the Spirit of God. You just sometimes in your human nature see things of the natural realm and they're intriguing because sometimes we're enticed by old desires, old thoughts. But it's not because the spirit of sin or the power of sin drives us into do those things anymore and we don't have a choice. You hear what I'm saying? I have those listening and watching. We have the ability to respond as a new creation to everything going on in our lives. Every report we get, all the news we hear, all the negativity around us, we have the understanding, well, I know all this is old stuff going on, but in me, I've been made brand new. I'm a new creation. The world may be going down, but I'm always headed up in the right direction. I'm always looking up because my redemption is near. Amen? I'm always looking unto Jesus, the who? The author and the... Aren't you glad you're not the one that has to finish your faith? When you understand yourself as a new creation and that this work that's going on inside of you is God doing the work and that you just sit back and enjoy God. This is the rest that Hebrews talks about that we have in Him. And that He's the author. He started it. And He doesn't walk away from anything. You need to know that. He doesn't ever walk away. He has started it. And if you'll let Him, He'll finish it. And He will finish this faith. He's the author and the finisher. This is the race that has been set before us. This love, this heart, this drive, this desire that we have now. See, before we responded to temptation, now we respond to the grace of God. Now we respond to the mercy of God because we're a new creation. We're not like we were before. You're not who you were before. You've had a completely, overhaul, brand new on the inside. There's an old kids show called Robots, and their slogan in the whole movie was upgrading all their parts, you know, as robots. And one of the slogans was, why be you when you can be new? Why be you? Why stay in sin when you can walk in freedom? Sin is deceptive luring of the devil. There's always a hook. There's always something else attached to it that's there to hurt and destroy, to kill. But when we have the freedom of God, when we understand the will of God, it's always to walk in this freedom that He's given us. He said, old things have passed away. We know that's a phrase for meaning it's come to its end point. It's come to death. It's come to the place where it now dies. And this is why you are now a living sacrifice. Because as you do what He says here, He says, behold. That means stop looking and doing at what you're looking at, stop doing what you're doing, and shift your focus to this now. Behold, you've been looking this way, now start looking this way. You've thought this way, now you're going to start thinking this way. It's the mentality of going from a beggar to a billionaire. You see what I mean? And everything has been provided for us to walk in this new creation life. Behold, all things have become new. That's on the inside of you. That's from that place that we always think it's some other place in the universe, or it's some metaphorical, you know, thought, some mystical thing. No, right now you are a new creation. Right now all of heaven is dwelling in you. Right now the kingdom of God is surging within you. Right now you have the ability to connect with God and speak His word and release divine authority and begin to shift things around in your life and move things back in the direction that God has for you. You agree with that? It's what your Bible says. The old nature in your spirit of deadness and lack of the life of God passed away when you become born again. You don't even have to respond to those old things. You don't have to respond to the old nature. You don't have to respond to the old ideas. You still have a human nature, like I said, but not a sin nature. The nature of someone with a sin nature, the responses is to do what? Sin. The nature of a dog is to do what? Bark. The nature of a cat is to meow. The nature of a cow is to moo. The nature of a sinner is to sin. It's what they do. It's who they are. The nature of the new creation is to create life. The nature of God is to release His perfection and His will and His ability and His strength and His healing and His power and His might, moving and working in our lives. The new nature is a complete transformation in your spirit. Totally brand new. You know how you ladies feel when you get your hair did? And you get that perm, or you get that cut, or you get that shape, that body, those dead ends, and you get that makeup, and you know, you get that total makeover. Have you seen that, those shows? Total makeover shows? They come on that show looking like one thing and left that show looking like a movie star. You know how it is? Yeah. Well, I'm telling you, you've had even more than that happen on the inside. And this is why we are to adorn our spirit with the word and with worship and with holiness and with reverence, because we've been made into someone, something totally different, that we stand out from every other person. This is why we are not from evolution. We are not from reincarnation. That's baloney. We are of the image of God, the nature of God, supernatural beings on this earth, disguised as human, mere human beings, as mild-mannered reporters, if you know what that's talking about. You have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. The greater one living on the inside of you. Now, I can sit here and tell you all night long you're worthless and you don't mean anything and you're just an old scallywag. Or I can tell you what the truth is. Stop with this, woe is me. Stop with this, I'm down and out and alone and I might as well eat worms and die. You have the life of God in you. Amen? The life of God flowing through you. When you were born again, you were made perfect in your spirit, not in your soul and your body. This is why we learn to submit our soul, surrender our soul to the will of God, and surrender our body to the healing power of God. This is why we learn to say, God, we want to move in this direction, and we're going to believe you for supernatural things in our lives. What's going on in our spirit, we want it to pour over into our soul. We want it to pour over into our body. We just read it where He desires that we prosper in every area of our being. Right? Even before we get to heaven. Your spirit is reborn, but your mind, your soul must be renewed, and your body and actions must be retrained. You know those habits, those responses? Like, there are times when I'm just sitting on my bed and I don't have my glasses on, you know what I'll do when I don't have my glasses on? Go to adjust my glasses. And I don't have them on. And I'll just kind of feel stupid there with myself. But there are habits that we formed before we got saved, and we've got to learn to retrain how we respond to the things of the flesh, the things of this world. We don't give the same programmed responses any longer and think, oh, it's okay. No, we have to renew our minds to the transformation that's taking place in us. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. Do you understand the imagery there? You were crucified with Christ. What was? The flesh, the sin, the death, the destruction, the curse. He said, it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now that's major news. That's not just, oh, I look holy in church. That's, I'm holy in life. I'm worthy to receive from God what He has for me. I'm the one now standing here as the representative of God. I am now an ambassador for Jesus Christ. Because it's not just me happening here, it's Jesus happening in my life. Jesus being giving the responses in my life. He says, in the life which I now live in the natural or in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. What Jesus did on the cross, I live by faith, knowing that my life, sin, destruction, all of that was crucified in Jesus. And no longer does that have any control over me, because when something's crucified, it's brought to death. And God does not resurrect the flesh. He resurrected the spirit. He resurrected you in the spirit. He says, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. He gave Himself for us because we were lacking in and of ourselves. So He gave Himself for us to fill in everything by grace, everything by His mercy, everything that we could ever miss and not catch up to or not do on our own. Jesus came in and was that perfect substitute for us in our lives. Everywhere we could miss it and never be right with God, Jesus was all that, and then placed Himself on the inside of us by the person of the Holy Spirit, and now we live unto Jesus, or we live by Jesus because of Jesus. Say, I'm not just like everybody else. You've got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 through 24 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man or the new person, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. That's you. Read it again. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. This is that new creation that you are. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. This is our last one for tonight, unless I think of some more. And we're going to begin declaring some things tonight over our lives as we pray here in a moment, so get ready. Romans 5:17 says, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. You are supposed to reign in life over every situation because Jesus is Lord of your life. And if Jesus is Lord of your life, if He's the one in charge, if He's the one living on the inside of you, His will is not just to put up with the devil. His will is not to bargain with the flesh. His will is to show you how he has totally destroyed the sin nature. He has totally destroyed the kingdom of darkness. He has totally destroyed the will of the devil and brought in the will of God in you by the person of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit's job is to teach you and to train you and to move you into this new creation mindset so that you begin to have the responses and live life like Jesus lived when he was on the earth. He was in complete control and in charge of his life, his destiny, his destination, everything that he did. They didn't murder him like they thought. He laid down his life. Satan never had the upper hand. Satan was played the entire time. And he thought he knew what he was doing. He is the biggest idiot there ever was. And still is. This is why we don't want to recognize or identify with him. We don't want to have anything to do with him because he's going down. And everybody submitted to him is going to go down with him. And it was never God's will that a single human being go down with the devil. It was only God's will that fallen angels, demons, rebellious spirits that we read about in Revelation, the creatures that are there that come up out of the earth, all those things in the spirit realm, those were the ones that were to go down with the devil. Hell was never even created for human beings. Hell was created for fallen angels. And God's will is that we reign in life through the power and the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? You have to disciple yourself and train yourself and renew your mind in this. But at the same time, it's not hard. The hard thing is the choice that we make to either surrender or not surrender. But the moment we decide to surrender, Jesus then is able to step forward and say, let me do the rest of this for you. Let me perfect this in you. The attitude you had before, let me show you my attitude. The desires you had before, now as you delight yourself in the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart because your heart is lined up with his heart. And really the things that are coming to you are the desires and the will of God. And God's will is always that you prosper, always that you succeed, always that you walk in strength and health and power and authority. Amen? Jesus isn't going to let a single demon ever have say-so over him. And we walk in that same divine authority. You may know people right now that you love dearly with all of your heart, and they're not walking in this. Guess what you get to do? Start speaking over their lives. Start calling them forward. You see people like Jesus saw Lazarus, then you say, Lazarus, come forth. You begin to call them out of that. You call them out of that destruction and that sin. And what's bound them up, just like Lazarus, you begin to call them out because you're a new creation and you call out to those things that are dead. You call the dry bones and you speak life and flesh over them and you speak a spirit into them and you watch the wind of God blow and begin to move things differently. We've sat still for way too long. And we've got supernatural power and ability flowing and working. I have watched a situation over a period of 2, maybe 2.5 years' time. I have watched it where it looked like nothing was going on, but I stayed the course and kept the faith and kept trusting God. And no matter what I'd see, I'd say, yeah, but God said this. God is doing this. And I watched it just one day, in one day, bam, everything changed. One day, we get so tied up in the process that we forget about the promise. And you've got to remember, as a believer, as a new creation, you've got supernatural things working in you, working for you, and you have the opportunity to share that with the world. Amen? We're the ones to call the dead to life. We're the ones to call the blind those that can see, the deaf to hear. The lame to walk. We're the ones that cause light to come into the darkness. We're the ones. And as we learn who we are in Jesus, as we learn about this new creation, we understand that we've got a lot of creating to do. We've got a lot of divine miracles to begin speaking and things of releasing the blessing. Our bumper stickers should be here any day. I'm thinking we're going to have them before Sunday. The ones that say blessing happens. I can't wait for people to start seeing that around town. And I know most of the time you're like, I'm not putting no bumper sticker on my car. Okay, well, put it on your window or use a little tape to put on so you can take it off when you want to. But I'm telling you, people need to see that thinking and switch their thinking. It's not what the world says happens. It's what God says. Blessing happens. Amen? Man and I was talking about something a couple of days ago. I said, that's okay. The blessing will fix it. The blessing will fix it. The blessing will fix it. We're going to walk in the blessing. Amen? And as we see this as a new creation, we are a blessing. We've been blessed to be a blessing. We've been blessed with Jesus Christ. We've been blessed with the Holy Spirit, with the blood of Jesus. We've been blessed with the power of the transforming Word of God so that we can bless other people. And to bless them is to speak and release God's favor in them. You can ask my family, you can ask my children, anybody that knows me. When we're driving, every time we see an American flag, what do I do? God bless America. God bless America. God bless America. Always speaking the blessing. Now, I know America has not done everything right, and America has had sinful leaders and all that kind of wicked stuff going on. I understand about all that. But there's more than just 10 righteous people in America. There's more than just 10 righteous people in Africa. There's more than 10 righteous people in Pakistan and in China. There's more than 10 righteous people in Australia. So guess what that means? God's blessing can flow into every area. Amen? God's blessing can begin to flow into the riots and the things going on right now. And in the midst of it, if you look at the right Christian news, you'll see revival going on in the midst of the rioting. You'll see people getting saved and people, they're baptizing people. I mean, they're having church services out here in the middle of this stuff. I have a friend, Cheryl Rush. She started a thing just this week that they're going to be down in Tulsa this weekend. While everybody's gathering to see the president, they're going to be down there having a group of people out there to evangelize and minister and witness and pray for people. In the midst of all the bad, God is always doing something good. Amen? Let's stand together. Praise God. I'm telling you, you can't think the way you always want to think and not get a hold of this. And you got to start shifting your thinking. And I'm a blessing. I'm a blessing. I'm blessed. The blessing's going to make right what's wrong. The blessing's going to enable me. The blessing's going to move me forward. Amen? So Lord, tonight, we identify with you. We don't identify with oppression. We don't identify with anxiety. We don't identify with sin. We don't identify with bitterness. We don't identify with our past. We don't identify with pain. We don't identify with suffering. We identify with you. We identify with the fact, the reality, the revelation of the new creation that has taken place on the inside of us. And we stand tonight, Lord, in boldness and in faith. We reject the old way of thinking and we take on the mind of Christ right now. Come on, just lay your hands on your head right now. In the name of Jesus, you're the point of contact of faith right now for yourself. Your spirit is connected to God. And in the name of Jesus, we pray right now that our minds be settled. Our mind be settled right now in peace. Our mind be settled right now in strength. We speak to ourselves right now. Self, you bless the Lord. You worship God. You don't live for your own will. You live for the will of God. I live for God. God lives in me. And I thank you, Lord, right now. Lay your hand over your heart. I thank you, Lord, right now that in my spirit, I have been recreated to walk in light, to walk in truth, to walk in power and in authority. I thank you that my heart has been made brand new. I don't have a wicked heart any longer. I have a holy heart in the name of Jesus. My heart is not deceiving. My heart is not causing deception. My heart is turned and going towards the Word of God. And God, my heart is with you. I thank you that my body, from the top of my head to the soles of my feet to everything in between, is healed and blessed and walking in strength and walking in the will of God. I break off old cravings and habits in the name of Jesus. We are people that have been set free, and we're going to stay free in the name of Jesus. Say, I am free from myself, from sin, from the power of the devil. I've now been made free to worship God, to live for God, to love God, and to make Him known. Lord, we stand here tonight rejoicing in that truth and knowing that you are working in us. You are building faith in us, God. It's your faith that we stand in. It's your faith that strengthens us. We praise you, Lord. We worship you. We honor you. We exalt you. Hallelujah. There's no place, Lord. We give you honor. We give you glory. We thank you, Jesus, right now. I pray you fill us with the awareness, the activity of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for that fire. We thank you for the fire of the Holy Ghost working in our lives. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Stop feeling only what you feel. Stop responding to your emotions and respond to the Word. In the name of Jesus. It's the only way you're going to make it. Lord, we praise you for that supernatural strength. In the name of Jesus, come on, just lift your hands and surrender to the Lord. We lift our hands to you, Jesus. I want more of you. I want more of you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We worship you. Glory, glory to you. You've made us new, Jesus. We thank you that we begin to walk in that more tonight than ever before. We thank you, you blessed us to be a blessing. We thank you, Lord, for your power in our lives. We live unto you, Jesus. We abide in you, you abide in us. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. And all the people said, amen. Take this with you tonight. You need to preach it to people at work and at school. You need to preach it to people in your family. Let them know, hey, you might have been suffering with this or going through that. There is hope in Jesus. Amen. And if you're believing for healing in your body, if you're believing for healing in your mind, don't give up. In a single moment, one breath, everything can change. Start expecting again. Don't let the pain wear you out. Believe God for a miracle. Amen. I love you. Have a good night. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us online. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10:30.